Classic Business with Michael Avery on FMR.
Well, it's time to talk entrepreneurship here on Hot Business and to talk about the fact that really small and medium-sized businesses are the beating heart of this country. They're the job creators. They're the ones who, if we are going to stand any chance of alleviating poverty, they're the ones at the front lines. They innovate and they connect us to our potential to really build the sort of country that we all hope South Africa can become. Yet there was some worrying data from New World Health and Henley Partners showing that roughly 4,500 so-called high net worth South Africans have left over the last decade. And, you know, with that, I think many of those SMEs that would have contributed to growing the economy. But fortunately, there are many business leaders who are bucking the trend, who are rolling up their sleeves and for very good reason saying that there is actually a lot to be excited about in South Africa. And one of those is the owner and founder of the Graphic Ballroom, GBR, Jason Forbes. And Jason, you're an entrepreneur who's very optimistic about South Africa and our future and our potential. Welcome to the show. And you're a leader, really, in branding and design packaging. You've worked for a quarter of a century here with some of the most iconic legacy brands. Think famous brands and Yardley and many more. But before we talk about that, how did you get involved in the creative agency world?
Thanks, Michael, and thanks for letting me be part of your show. Yeah, it's obviously been a long story, 25 years. And not excelling at school on an academic level, I kind of went down the creative road and studied at Ruth Brower School of Art many years ago. And then came out and thought I was kind of on top of the world and didn't need to get into an agency life. So I started a freelance career, doing really bad design work on a freelance basis. But kind of believed in myself and believed in the opportunities that this country could provide and started an agency. So, yeah, 25 years later, I've never been employed. I've only been self-employed, which is a story on its own, but had some amazing opportunities along the way and been able to work on some incredible brands.
It's amazing what being reliant on yourself, being entrepreneurial from the get-go can do in terms of providing you with the kind of energy and the alignment around purpose and discipline, because ultimately there's no safety net. If you were to take yourself back 25 years ago, can you actually recall that moment and how you started the business? Was it just bootstrapped to fools, friends and family and a bit of that youthful exuberance that you knew you just couldn't fail? How did you do it?
Yeah, 100%. You have to have belief in yourself. You have to have belief in what you're producing, what you're doing. I was fortunate enough that my father signed sureties for my first Mac, which I bought at that time, which is some ridiculous price. And I went into it believing that I would never fail. And I think most entrepreneurs have to have that spirit. But it has been tough at times. But if I had to do it all again, I wouldn't change anything. And in fact, I speak to a lot of people in industry and talk to them about my journey. And I often say that the easiest thing for me to do was start a business at 24 when I didn't own a house and didn't own a car and didn't have any financial debt or commitment. So that 1,000 rand or 2,000 rand I made every month was good enough to put some food on the table. I think people get stuck into business and get stuck into corporate and then want to jump ship and it's a very difficult time.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing. My partner's son is going to study engineering at Trinity College and the advice I give to him is very similar advice about his life stage, giving him the ability to travel and to take risks and to take chances. And yes, there's this anxiety of going to another country and this fear of the unknown, but it's definitely a common thread in the entrepreneurs I've spoken to over the course of my journalistic career, Jason, is that you have this ability to be more fearful of the opportunities that were not taken and more fearful of the regret than the particular outcome. And I think that really is a golden thread that defines entrepreneurship. I wish we could bottle that and teach it at schools, because it's the one thing. We've got life orientation. Why we're not teaching our kids this kind of entrepreneurial attitude is beyond me. I want to go into your career, though, as someone who's worked with some of the most iconic brands in the country. And you think here, Baker's Biscuits, Five Roses Tea. You've worked with the Table Mountain Cableway. How does one rebrand? Let's take a South African favorite like Five Roses Tea, for example. We all love a good cuppa. What did Five Roses need?
Yeah, so that journey started with us, it must be 12, 15 years back, when we were invited to pitch on a repackaging job at the time, which we did. And I think at that particular time, we brought some innovation to it and we brought some creativity. At the time, there was a strong competitor that they were up against, and they wanted to try and distinguish themselves as a premium product, which is what they are. And I think it's finding solutions for that. So the journey with Five Roses Tea has been an incredible journey. And I think what the consumer doesn't see is how many times we've changed that pack over the last 12, 15 years, which they wouldn't even know. The risk of changing a brand such as that radically in one go is obviously very dangerous for the brand. But keeping innovation and keeping the change on an ongoing basis, if I had to show you a pack that from 12 years back to now, you would be amazed at the amount that has changed.
And, you know, I think for the consumer at the end of the day, those small changes are perhaps seen more subconsciously. But as long as the product at the end of the day still delivers what the consumer has come to love and enjoy, and certainly with Five Roses, that's a staple in our household as well. But I want to come back to this issue of heritage brands, because what we've been seeing over the last decade, and this is a global phenomenon, is these incumbents, the big brand owners, and I think here in South Africa, the likes of Tiger and AVI, and there are many others, perhaps weren't investing in those brands, those heritage brands, as much as they should have been. And they were reliant on kind of historic affinity. And we saw a lot of upstart new brands coming onto the market. The rise of digital means you can go direct to consumer. And all of a sudden, I think these heritage brands found themselves a little bit behind the eight ball. I mean, what is your sense on the evolution of the heritage brand space in the country over the last decade?
Yeah, absolutely. I think big business did have to have a bit of a wake up and be proactive all the time on their brand. I work a lot with AVI, and they do a lot of that, which is really great for the brand. You know, you're talking to different consumers all the time and younger consumers, and if you're not updating your brand and talking to them, you're going to be left behind. And to my previous point, if you want to make that radical change, then there's big risk on your brand. We've seen in the marketplace before where brands take big risk and make big changes and it becomes disastrous. So it is really important for them to make continuous change. And I've certainly seen an uptake of that over the last couple of years. And they're spending good money in the right places.
Now, you're spending money in expanding your business. As an entrepreneur, you just a couple of months ago announced that you're going to be expanding by opening your first office over in London. But it doesn't mean that you're turning your back on South Africa. I mean, how do you approach this? Because, you know, for entrepreneurs, you have to have an unbridled optimism. But there is also a sense of reality that South Africa isn't performing to its potential. How do you kind of balance those two competing inner voices around where you're going to invest, where you're going to look for growth, and what are your overall thoughts about South Africa and our outlook and future?
Yeah, so the London office has been something that I've wanted to do for quite a long time. I think the timing had to be right, and I had to be positioned correctly in terms of being able to take the business over the seas. Opportunity arrived middle of this year. I had a colleague that had decided to go, and we've kind of decided to do something together. I think it's an amazing opportunity for my local staff to be engaged and to see what is happening overseas and be engaged in that, as well as to bring some competitiveness back into this country and to bring some foreign currency back in here. I think the problem with businesses is to uplift your staff and to be able to pay them the correct amount of money for doing the job that they're wanting to do, giving them opportunities to go overseas and explore different markets as well. But it's certainly not my intention to leave South Africa and spread my wings there. It's really just an outlet, creative outlet and further opportunities.
So you remain confident and positive about South Africa, despite load shedding and all of the travails that we know all too well?
Yeah, look, we can all look at the negatives. And I think it's important that we look at the positives. This country has been amazing for me and amazing for my business and giving myself and my family a huge opportunity here. So I've always been super positive. And I think it is easy to see the negatives. But I live an amazing life, and my family lives an amazing life. I ride bike on the mountain every day, and it's just it's a lifestyle that I don't think I could replace. I'm very fortunate in that I can travel overseas quite a bit and have been able to do that. And I still come back here where my heart is, and it is something that will remain and stay with me forever.
Well, and I think it's that spirit and that recognition that this is the country that has given you that start and so much and that lifestyle that really needs to be resonant amongst all entrepreneurs in this country. And I do see quite a lot of pessimism, people talking South Africa down. So it's great when we see business leaders actually standing up and saying, you know what, this is a great country. Yes, we've got our problems, but often the grass isn't greener. You wouldn't want to be in Europe or Britain next year, for that matter, with inflation heading north of 20%. The US is tearing itself apart on bipartisan political lines. Everywhere you look, there are challenges. But South Africa has a world tour of fantastic opportunity. And as we look ahead to Heritage Day, this Heritage Month, I think just a great story, Jason. Thanks so much for sharing yours. And we'll be tracking your international expansion with great interest here on Classic Business. Take care.
Thanks, Michael. Thanks a lot.
That was owner and founder of The Graphic Ballroom, GBR, Jason Forbes, sharing his undoubted passion for brands and South Africa, one entrepreneur who is very optimistic about the future. You're listening to Classic Business.
Classic Business with Michael Avery on FMR.